I'm Kendall Rawls with the Rawls Group, and I'm here to welcome you to our discussion. Consider us your tribe of sorts, where we chat about all things related pretty much to anything. As your tribe, we provide five different perspectives from our unique view of the world. We are pioneers, trailblazers, go-getters, power professionals, marvelous moms, friends, dog lovers, and so much more. Our discussions span from leadership, business, relationships, and personal growth, and everything in between. Here we go.
Welcome, everyone. Hello, tribe. My name is Brigitte Hoefele. I am here with four other incredible female leaders, Amy, Kendall, Jeannie, Cindy, and Brigitte. And we're here to give it to you straight, to give it to you unfiltered and authentic from our unique points of view, because it's not just one point of view. It's very unique points of views from each and every one of us being in somewhat the same field in our professional field, and yet we're all completely different. I think what we all have in common is coming from a very clear mindset and coming from a very clear strategy in our communication. And yet we're all so different. And yet we're all working with different types of people in different industries. And today we want to kick it off talking about agreements. You know, I often teach when we go into meeting new people and building relationships with people and building rapport with people, that is a beautiful thing when you know how to do it. And, you know, going in, say, into a networking event and you meet a new person or you meet all of these new people and you do a great job in introducing yourself and really being interested in what the other person does and what they stand for and why they do it. Not necessarily what they do, but really why they do it and get to the bottom of it. What I found many times over is that people are not putting like a little nice little bow after they say their goodbyes in terms of an agreement. And an agreement can be a handshake, let us connect on LinkedIn, or an agreement could be, allow me to introduce you to XYZ. An agreement can be, let's do something together. An agreement could be, let's create a tribe and really bring out our expertise and share it with other people. I want to talk about those agreements today. And Kendall, what do you have to say about agreements? I mean, we make agreements all day long.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if you guys heard the correlation of beeping happening with my computer. I apologize if you did. I kept trying to close my Outlook, but it kept reopening. So it did not agree with the agreement I had to shut down my Outlook.
That's really interesting. So how often in life do we go through and we're not necessarily agreeing with what's going on, and yet we do it? And yet we make the best out of it.
Yes. Yeah, so much. Yeah, there's a few times even that I can recall this past weekend where something didn't feel right to me in a conversation, and I started getting annoyed. And it occurred to me the only way that this is going to resolve itself within myself is if I share how I'm feeling. And so there's even to that point, not having an agreement with myself that I'm just going to take it or I'm going to stuff it, versus sharing how I'm feeling, especially when someone asks, hey, you seem a little off. What, you know, what's going on? And the first thing I said was, no, nothing, everything's fine. And then it hit me. It just gave me an opportunity to share. And so in terms of a dynamic or an agreement or giving permission, I had an opportunity to share and I almost stuffed it. So that, yeah, I mean, there's so many, when you think deeply about agreements and the agreement you have with yourself of what, how you're going to show up in the world, how you're going to interact with each other, how you're going to be true to yourself, as well as agreements with others. Jeannie, I see you're nodding your head. What comes up?
Wait for it.
My favorite book.
You know, at the end of the day, I had a conversation earlier with a young woman who is struggling with her agreement with herself. And I live by, and this is for me, I live by God, family, country, work. That's the way I live. Other people live differently, and that's fabulous. That's what makes the world go round, because we are all different. And that is my agreement with me. And I make agreements with myself when it comes to everything that I do. And I hold myself to that agreement. And the moment I don't, and Brigitte's heard me say, one moment, I'm not taking that step, because my agreement is before I take that step, I finish this step. And that really holds me accountable. And where it gets a little funky is when I'm working with my team. And they don't hold themselves accountable for their own integrity. And that is where it gets a little hiccupy. However, they have to sleep at night. When my head hits the pillow, I know I always did my best. I know I was true to the agreement to myself. Now, today I was a couple minutes late. And being my true authentic self, I probably should have sat down with paint all smeared down the side of my face. I really don't know when I did that, but somehow I decided to do one of these on the side of my face with paint. And I'll show you that I really do have on painting clothes. I just threw a sweater on to make myself look presentable. And my agreement was to be here at 4:00, and I got here at 4:05. My apologies, young ladies. But I did my best. So if you haven't read the Four Agreements,
yeah, Jeannie, I think that Kendall turned me onto that book when we were doing a presentation together recently this past summer, I guess, Kendall, for Women in Energy. And I don't read much unless it's something that's recommended. So that book, literally, I did the audio version of it. And I think I listened to it the whole way back from Pennsylvania or Rhode Island, wherever we were, Kendall. The book is fantastic. And I think it does a great job of not only for our setting agreements for ourselves, Jeannie, to what you were just saying, but I was having a conversation with my daughter last night, our youngest daughter. She's 20 years old. She's in her sophomore year of college. And she tends to backpack a lot. So then what happens is that last book gets put in that backpack, and all of a sudden the backpack is blown open. And for anybody listening that doesn't understand what I'm saying, that means you probably haven't been through therapy. I've been through a lot of it. And basically it means you're stuffing all this stuff inside and pushing it all down. And then there's something very minor that comes across, and it just blows it all open, and you get really emotional. And my daughter was super emotional about something where I'm like, girl, if your confidence wasn't so low, you'd be saying F that guy right now. And it had to do with a professor. So I said, let's peel back the layers. Let's talk about this. So Brigitte, when I hear you say agreements, I think a lot about boundaries too, and the art of setting very clear and healthy boundaries. And through the conversation I was having with her, you know, I said to her, I said, it is okay for you to feel the way you feel. And it is okay for you to share how you feel with the person that's making you feel that way. They don't have to agree with it. They don't have to understand it. They don't even have to respect it, but they have to hear you, and they have to understand that their actions and what they're doing, if they continue to do it, are going to make you feel this way, and there will be consequences. And so basically she has to make an agreement with herself to be willing to have the conversations about boundaries. So that's what I hear when I hear agreements. I hear that square, the boundaries.
Yeah. You know what? And then the question begs, and you're absolutely right, Amy, how do you enforce those boundaries? And what are the consequences? You know, I ask my clients that. So if you're setting these boundaries, or if you're setting these guardrails, or however you want to call them, how are you enforcing it? And what's the consequence? Someone completely and utterly overstepping those boundaries. And a lot of people just look at me and go, oh, what do you mean? Do you mean my consequences or for the person? I'm like, yes and yes. What are the consequences?
Exactly, because you can't just put the guardrails up or put the boundaries in place and not have consequence when they're crossed. I think of a bowling analogy. You know, you put the bumpers up when you go bowling, and what's the consequence? You've got them up, you throw the ball down the lane. What is the consequence if those guardrails are not up? Ball's going to go in the gutter, and it's going to keep going in the gutter.
I love that analogy, Amy. Yeah, with the balls going in the gutter. And I love the Four Agreements. I came across that book, wait for it, in 2000. Yeah, so it's been around a long time. And I can honestly say it changed my life because it changed the way I looked at things. And it encouraged me to be more accountable to myself, to be impeccable with my word and not make assumptions and not take anything personally and to do my best. And when we have agreements, not just with ourselves, but with the people that we're working with, it makes life so much easier. When everybody understands what is expected, it just goes, it flows. And I know that several of us work with different teams. And when one person seems to constantly flaunt those agreements, it can cause a little bit of friction and frustration. And at the end of the day, we can point out, you know, we have this agreement. This is what we said we were going to do and go with the flow with that and, you know, reemphasize the consequences of being part of the team or not being part of the team and what's expected and how we show up is everything.
I remember a conversation I had with, I believe, Brigida a year or so ago, talking about working through some conflict. And the question she asked me was, well, what was the outcome of that discussion? What was the agreement? And when I thought about it, there was no agreement. There was something that was said on one side and then how I felt. And then there was this assumption that, well, this is how it's going to be. But there was no discussion about, well, what are two people agreeing upon to do? And I think that is so key about creating agreements in relationships and in teams and when people you work with, that at the end of the day, and going back to how Brigida started the conversation, is there has to be an agreed upon next step. Otherwise, the ball is still in the air. And who's responsible for it? And what's going to happen next?
Yeah, I agree, because I'm the type that is going to die for the ball, right? You know, and I know, Kendall, you get that. Well, I'm going to die for the ball to get the ball back over the net. And while somebody else is just going to stand there, and I will go back to agreements. And I know people are like, agreements, like they and I go, it could be a simple email. It could be a little bar napkin. I don't care what it is. But when it's in writing and you both agree and you both see it, you both hear it, you both feel it, and it's understood, that's an agreement. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. It just has to be an understanding and a meeting of the minds. Don't overthink it.
And I want to reiterate what you just said, Jeannie, that both parties are agreeing upon it. That means that it's got to be spelled out specifically to not go into what Kendall said earlier, going into assumptions. Because when we have agreements that are just very vague, or where one person is assuming that we're agreeing on this, where the other person is putting their own meaning in it, and because it's not spelled out clearly, that's when, you know, deals fall apart, relationships fall apart, friendships fall apart, because it's not clearly spelled out. And when you have something very clearly verbally agreed on, you can then put it very clearly in writing. And like you said, Jeannie, you know, on a napkin and an email, this is what we agreed upon. And everyone is literally on the same page.
Yeah. And earlier today, I told you about the young lady. So she's in an agreement with a group of us. And part of that agreement says we will support and help each other. Because there's great days and there's days that, you know, life happens. And she is in the process of not only taking care of her uncle, she's also has some transitioning and helping going on with taking care of both of her parents. Her mom's sick now, and she's got a young daughter. And she said, I don't feel that I'm living up to my agreement. I said, well, let's look at the agreement. So she opened the agreement and I said, it is about supporting each other. And it's about working together. I said, you are holding up and have held up your end of the agreement. I said, now it's time that we support you. I said, because that's in the agreement. And I relieved her shoulding on herself that she wasn't living up to it. And she was able to alleviate so much stress because she's like, oh, I said, so it's your turn to be an excellent receiver and let us help you. Because that's part of the agreement.
One of the ways that I put this in practice at work that I started, oh goodness, back to consulting for as long as I did, was doing recaps. So in a work environment where you're working with teams, especially in my environment, I work in a male dominated industry. There's a lot of, I think, just a lot of mixed transitions and translations in terms of what is being said or what is being agreed upon. So I use recaps a lot. So if I have a conversation with a team or an individual, and I'm not sure, again, that one, are they going to remember? Two, are they going to remember? And three, are they going to remember? I recap it. And I said at the very beginning of it, this is what I got from our conversation. This is what we agreed upon. If I am misunderstood or if I'm missing anything, please let me know. 90% of the time they don't respond. However, because I've put it in writing, I have something to go back to when that ball is dropped. Or if I've just, you know, I've gone on and done what I'm supposed to do. If somebody comes back to me and says, you shouldn't have done that, I'm like, well, this is our agreement. Just because you didn't respond doesn't mean you didn't agree. Silence is agreement. When I'm asking for a response and I don't get one, silence is your agreement.
Kendall, we can't hear you.
Thank you. I was giving you guys all compliments. I'm so sad you weren't able to hear them. What I think of... agreements in a management perspective and the thought process of there's people who are leaders and they use their positional power to not motivate, to get things done. And then, or they can use their influential power in terms of inspiring and motivating people to do things. And agreements, whether you are from an organizational chart perspective, higher than somebody, an agreement creates more of a dialogue. And now you're two humans working and collaborating together in order to get something done versus this hierarchical person telling you what to do. And now the person below in the organizational chart isn't able to use what they're being hired to do, use their mind, use their creativity. So agreements can kind of even the playing field when two people or teams are working to collaborate and problem solve for a win-win-win. And it's also huge in a family business environment, especially when there may be a family member employee who is now at the same level or is coming up to the same level as a loyal key employee who's been there for years and years and years. And that person, that key employee, is looking at this family member employee like, who are you, junior? I mean, I have 20 years on you. But when you begin to think about discussing ideas and discussing differences or discussing goals from an agreement standpoint, now you're one tribe. Now you're working towards the same thing.
And what I hear you saying, Kendall, is it's all about conscious communication. Actually, you know, listening and picking up what the other person is saying, possibly feeding it back to them, making sure that you're on the same page so that you can have that same agreement, you know, and the collaboration, conscious communication and collaboration. I mean, there's nothing else like it. Makes all the difference in the world.
I will put two more C's in there, clean and clear communication. Right? Concise And when we can state that, it becomes clearer and clearer on what the agreement really is. Because like Amy said, you know, there will be people that will give it perhaps a different meaning if they are responding to the agreement. And if they're not responding, that's an agreement all in itself. I often also find clients that are just super fuzzy around, well, what does that agreement mean? Because it is stated so vague that I say, well, go back and either ask for more clarity or put it in writing on what it means to you. Now it's clear, right? So clean and clear is another two C's that I wanted to add to that.
Alliteration is so fun.
I think I want to make an agreement that we're going to leave it at this today. And I want to hear from everyone that's listening to us. How do you feel about agreements? How do you enforce them? What are some of the consequences? Tell us some stories. I would love to hear them, because agreements are so, once you know how to put them in place and once you know how to set those boundaries and know how, you know, with what consequences are you going to enforce them, it's easy to do them again and again and again. And I want to encourage you on a personal level and on a business level, make those agreements. It makes your life so much easier. Thank you for listening in.
We appreciate you listening in. Do you have something you would like to chat about with us or maybe chime in on? Contact Amy, Brigida, Jeannie, Cindy, or Kendall at the email addresses listed on the screen, or submit a topic you would like for us to discuss by emailing Kendall Rawls at kendall@rawlsgroup.com. We would love your feedback. Thank you to our 5 excellent coaches for sharing insight and perspectives and showing the power of vulnerability. Your Tribe is produced by the Rawls Group Business Succession Planners.